Greetings, church family and guests. I hope that you all are well. It's a pleasure for me to be before you to share God's word again this day. Please get your Bibles ready if you don't have them already. We will be continuing our study in Colossians chapter 1. Last time, we covered a fair amount of background, context, and so forth. If this is your first time joining us, you may want to watch the previous video and then return to this one. If you remember, previously we divided the first portion of chapter 1 into three sections. The first being the greeting, expressed by verses 1 and 2. The second, a prayer of thanksgiving, covered by verses 3 through 8. And the last section, a prayer of intercession, according to verses 9 through 14. The emphasis of our study covered verses 10 through 12, where we looked more closely at the overall aim of Paul and Timothy's prayer for the Colossian believers, which was, as verse 10 states, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. From the latter part of verse 10 through verse 12, we examined four descriptive actions pertaining to the heart-filled plea to the Father. From verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. So we had the idea there of that was a laboring for an outcome, a gospel-centered outcome. Continuing on, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And this really was implying a continual growth in the knowledge of God, not simply facts, but knowing the Father through Christ, growth in the Christian life. From verse 11, we saw strengthened for all endurance and patience with joy. And that was according to the ESV translation. We also looked at the NASB translation for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, where we said joyously was really connected to the next verse. So from this word strengthened, we want to understand divinely and gloriously strengthened through the Holy Spirit to a patient endurance, an ability to bear all things. And then from verse 12, giving, not just any giving, but joyously giving thanks to the Father. Today we're going to take a look at about 2.5 verses, the latter part of verse 12 and verses 13 and 14. These are giving the reasons why the Colossians should joyously give thanks to the Father. Brothers and sisters, these are the same reasons why we too should joyously give thanks to the Father for all things. Let's take a moment and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you for the day that you have given us. Father, I do pray and ask that your word would be taught well, that it would change hearts, that you would do indeed what you've intended for it to do. Father, that we would be edified, that we would grow in our knowledge of you because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask that this time would be praiseworthy and joyous, and Father, that it would be honoring in your sight. We love you. Amen. A few things to remember and also to pay attention to as we read today's scripture. Godly, gospel-centered requests are being made on behalf of the Colossian believers, so that they may stand in the face of heresy. We have to remember that the primary intent of this letter is to combat heresy that was arising at the church in Colossae. The aim of the prayer is that the Colossian believers would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In conjunction with that, very specific gospel-centered requests were being made, bearing fruit, increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened for all endurance and patience, and lastly, and perhaps most importantly, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Why could they joyously give thanks to the Father? He qualified them, he delivered them, and he transferred him. We're going to look at those things in a little bit more detail today. So here's our scripture reading. Please go ahead and follow along in your Bibles if you have them. This is, again, from Colossians chapter 1. This is verses 9 through 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So let's expand on joyously giving thanks to the Father. So reason number one, from the latter part of verse 12, it says, "Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light?" God the Father qualified the Colossian believers to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Qualified here means to make sufficient. And what we need to understand from that is it's a final, fully completed act, not able to be added to or subtracted from. Of greater importance is who declared the Colossian believers qualified, and that's the Father. No one else, no man, no law, no custom, no tradition, no angel. It was by God the Father alone. And what did the Father make them fully sufficient for? A share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Their saintly portion. The truth that the Father fully qualified them to a full saintly inheritance would have been of great importance to the Colossians in combating the heresy they were facing. Remember, the heresy in several ways was implying much more had to be done on man's part to be saved. The one responsible for the heresy was judging for himself if one was qualified. He based qualification upon following rules, visions, or worship practices. We see that in chapter 2, verse 16, which states, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath." And again in verse 18, where it says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind." It's not hard to contrast the perfect promises of God and the empty words of man. What beautiful news to the Colossians. God perfectly qualified them to a share in the perfect inheritance. Reason number two for joyously giving thanks to the Father. From the first part of verse 13, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness." What should we understand here is the Father rescued us, meaning both Paul and Colossian believers, completely out from the ruling power of darkness. To better understand the domain of darkness, think of it in contrast to the inheritance of the saints in light. Domain of darkness, the sphere of the kingdom and influence of the evil one, fallen man, sin. Another way to think of it is everything that doesn't line up with the light. John 3:19 says this, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." And John 8:12 says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Delivered from the power of darkness to walk in the light. What a great hope the Colossian believers had. Rescued from darkness and all its power. But it wasn't enough for God to only rescue them. Reason 3, picking up in the latter part of verse 13 and 14, "And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Let's look at this last portion alongside with the previous, because these things really happened simultaneously. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Delivered and transferred. Paul, Timothy, the Colossian believers, others according to the fruit of the gospel at that time, which Paul and Timothy gave thanks for in the beginning of this letter, delivered from all darkness, which was possible only by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, only possible by faith in Christ Jesus. Delivered out of darkness and transferred to a new kingdom, new life here on earth, perfectly positioned before the Father, because they had been justified, redeemed, the ransom of sin and all unrighteousness paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. The greatest thing the Colossian believers should understand, and their best defense against the invasive heresy of the time, is that salvation is from God. It's by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus. And the other thing they would want to understand, that salvation is perfect and full and wonderful and glorious and not lacking in any way. What a wonderful salvation they have. As it was for the Colossian believers, so it is for us who believe this day. What a wonderful salvation that we have. The Father, too, has qualified us for an inheritance and delivered us from all unrighteousness and transferred us into righteousness by his amazing grace through faith in his Son. It's my hope that we would understand that more and more, and my prayer for you as well. And bearing that in mind, let's go ahead and pray to close. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for such a wonderful salvation that we have. Father, let us ever remember it. Let us ever lift one another up in prayer, asking that we too might be filled in such a way as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him in every way. Father, we thank you. We trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We trust in that covering, that when you view us, Lord, you see the perfect righteousness of your Son, his death in place of ours, fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you raised him on the third day to the newness of life, that we too may share in the newness of life even now. And Father, as we look forward to the day of glory when we will be like him because we will see him as he is. Lord, we thank you for this time. We trust in you always. Amen.